Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Elena Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. This evening we talk about what are our options, what are our choices when we are told that we have a life-changing illness that might either be chronic without a known cure or life-threatening. My guest this evening is Julia Shopik, the creator of the award-winning blog HonestMedicine.com and a published writer and public relations consultant for more than 20 years, and she is the author of Honest Medicine. Tonight, Julia will share with us her journey to find effective treatments that she has discovered on her journey to help her husband, who was diagnosed with brain cancer, treatments not always recognized by her physicians. And Julia will give us thoughts as to choices open to us when faced with illnesses that are either life-threatening or life-changing. Welcome, Julia Shopik, to Take Charge of Your Life.
Oh, Ellie, I am so glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad that you wrote this book. It's so informative. So many of us are faced with decisions to make when we hear that a loved one has had a diagnosis of perhaps cancer or multiple sclerosis. How did you get started on this journey?
Well, my husband at the age of 40 was diagnosed with a cancerous brain tumor the size of an orange. And I have to tell you, Ellie, that at first both my husband and I were in shock. I mean, can you imagine having that happen? It was just horrendous. And for the first several months and even the first few years, we just did what the doctors told us to do. You know, surgery, chemo, radiation. And then I began to notice that he was suffering every side effect in the book. I started researching, you know, as the journey started out. And I began to see that he was suffering every side effect, every complication in the book, complications from the treatments, not from the tumor. So, for instance, he had numerous seizures, often landing him in the hospital. He even had a stroke, a radiation-caused stroke. Mm. I never knew they existed, but, radiation to the brain can cause a stroke. And he had so many side effects, and he was just going downhill, and I just started to put on my research cap, and boy, did I find some wonderful information.
So you kind of felt that there must be a better way.
Yes.
Or if not a better way, certainly another way.
Well, you know something? I have to stress that when there's a tumor in the head the size of an orange, you do have to do surgery. And, maybe radiation and maybe chemo. I don't know. You know, I still worry that the chemo might not have been the right choice in his case. But whether, you know, you can't, what do they say, cry over spilled milk, there are things you can do to improve the situation. And I was very lucky to have found a nutritionist, you know, within a few years of his being diagnosed, a woman named Jean Wallace, who is an expert on nutrition and cancer. And that was the beginning. And I put in a lot of time researching as well. But she prescribed, I shouldn't say prescribed, she's not a doctor, but she recommended many, many supplements that would increase his energy without hurting, you know, without hurting him. And she was incredible. And one of the things she said to do was to stop all sugar. And as we're now finding out, sugar, cancer cells love sugar. So I consider that to be a very important thing. But I found that as he was doing the nutritional treatments and as he was eating a better diet, you know, he stopped eating all the terrible stuff that maybe a lot of people eat when they're sick, you know, he began to shine. And he felt so much better. And this is when I started getting a kind of message that the medical profession wasn't interested, because he became their star patient. He was outliving the prognosis. And I found that the doctors were never, they were all saying, whatever you're doing, God, keep doing it. And at one point he said, well, do you want to know about the supplements I'm taking? And the doctor said, next question.
Julia, let me ask you, what was their prognosis? What did they give him a certain amount of money? They said,
They, 3 years for an astrocytoma 3, which is one of the most serious. It's one grade below the most serious glioblastoma, but it was very, very serious. And if you look online now, you know, just Google astrocytoma grade 3, you'll find 18 months to 3 years. And, you know, lots of people live more, but hardly anyone.
So he was 40 when he got the diagnosis.
Yes.
And he was, they gave him 3 years to live to 43.
Yes.
And you found this Gene Wallace, who prescribed a different kind of a diet, which enabled his body to fight off the cancerous cells a little bit through the taking away of sugar.
Yes, and not only taking away sugar, but eating clean foods.
What do you mean by clean foods?
Exactly. I was about to tell you that not processed, not that stuff in. You know the kinds of things you buy in the supermarket where you can't pronounce half the things on the ingredients label?
Yeah.
We stopped that, and we were only eating whole foods. I hate to give, I don't mean things from whole foods.
No. You mean whole nutritious foods, right?
Yes.
Can you give us an idea of what a meal would be like?
Absolutely. I've never been asked that on a show, but I think it's a wonderful question. I would give him, say, fish, salmon, or chicken, and in rare cases, red meat, but it was usually from Whole Foods, and vegetables. I did this thing called vegetable medleys, where I would put in all different kinds of vegetables, and kind of switch them off, mm-hmm. and maybe a potato. And he just, he was loving his food. And, this is the kind of thing I fed him. And so we went until he was diagnosed again with a recurrence. And I want to tell you, it wasn't for 10 years that, he went without a recurrence for 10 years.
Oh, he went without a, so he lived beyond the prognosis.
Oh, way beyond. He lived 15 years.
Oh my! So when you connected with Gene Wallace and made this change in the diet and used some of the supplements as well as whatever the medications the doctors were giving you, he lived beyond the prognosis of 3 years to 10 years.
Way, and he lived another five. He lived 15 years.
15 years,
and. Now, it was quite. That's why it was very saddening to me that the doctors weren't interested, because this is the kind of thing, that they might have learned, the ways to tell other patients to eat and what kinds of supplements other patients could take. But they were not interested.
Now, did he had to undergo another surgery? Tell us about that.
Yes, he did. He in 2001. 2000 and 2001, we took a while before we decided to have the surgery. His tumor did recur. And I had this awful feeling that, have you ever just had like a gut feeling, Ellie?
Yes.
I just had the feeling that he should not have this surgery. Because something that I tell about in the book, that I tell about in Honest Medicine, is that even with the first surgery, we'd had trouble with his skin healing. His skin was his, what I call, Achilles heel. It was a weakness, and especially when you have radiated skin, it can be very weak. And I just knew, he wasn't really suffering from the second tumor, I just had a bad feeling. But the doctors convinced me that it would be no problem, and he had the surgery, and boy, then his skin really didn't heal.
And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And my guest this evening is author of Honest Medicine, Julia Shopik, award-winning blogger on healthcare and healing. And so what happened when the surgery was done and it didn't heal, the skin didn't heal?
Oh, my God. The doctors kept doing the only thing they knew to do, which was one surgery and another surgery. Not on going way in, because they had already gotten the tumor out, but they were doing surgeries to try to get two pieces of skin that would heal. And they even, at one point, none of these surgeries worked. They did eight extra surgeries. And at one point, they even got grafts from all over his body, and still the skin kept opening up. And I was researching to beat the band. And luckily, almost through what Bernie Siegel would call a God incident, you might want to call it a coincidence, but Bernie Siegel says it's a God incident.
Right, right.
I was talking, as you said, I do PR. I was talking to somebody through a PR client, and the person was a doctor, an integrative doctor, and he said, "Have you ever heard of Silverlon?" And I said, "Silver who, what?" And he told me about this wonderful treatment that is routine. It's FDA approved for all non-healing wounds, and it's pieces of material with silver ions in it. And he said, "You know, it couldn't hurt." So with my PR skills, I got to the president of the Silverlon company, and I convinced him to give us some Silverlon, get it to us right away overnight, and I got permission from the doctors in the hospital to put it on Tim's head. And I want to stress that these doctors, thank God they let me put it on his head, because often they refuse.
Oh, they didn't do it. You did it.
I did it.
Oh.
And it started to work literally overnight. And the doctors were like, "Well, it seems to be healing." And I said, "Would you like to learn about Silverlon, doctor?" I prepared a media packet, of information, including, and they said, no, they didn't really want to read it. And the skin finally did heal. And the doctors then turned a little bit cold toward me. They had loved me before. And one of them even came up to me and he goes, "You know, I don't think it was what you found with the accent on you that healed your husband's skin." And truly curious, I said, "Well, doctor, what do you think it was? I mean, we put the Silverlon on last night or two nights ago, and now it's really healing up." He said, "I think it was the vancomycin." That's the IV antibiotic. I said, "But doctor, he's been on that for 6 weeks." And he said the words that rang in my head that I will never forget and that made me become a patient advocate, and the words were, "Vanco is like that. It kicks in."
Oh. So he didn't give you credit, and he didn't give you credit for the discovery of the Silverlon for having any impact whatsoever.
And you know what? The reason that made me so sad and so angry, actually, Ellie, is that this is a fairly common problem. That post-surgical wounds, especially with brain tumors, especially if the person has been radiated previously, if the skin has been radiated on the head, often they don't heal. And one would hope that, one knows that this will happen to other patients down the road. It just happens. And wouldn't it be nice if they were curious and would know about Silverlon? And I know for a fact, I actually checked with the people who were the Silverlon salespeople that I came to know, and they said nobody from that department ever ordered it again.
Well, it's going to be, so you learned to become your own patient advocate and to understand that you could just go so far with your physicians.
And you and I have discussed before, I knew that had I found this earlier, my husband would have done a lot better. Because don't forget, the surgeries, remember I told you I had eight extra surgeries to try to find two pieces of skin that would heal? Those surgeries debilitated him so much that the man who walked into that surgery telling jokes now was bedbound, incontinent, and paralyzed, almost paralyzed. He had like involuntary movements, and that's how he stayed for the next 3.5 years until he died. His suture line never opened again, though.
And you gave him 3.5 extra years.
Yep.
And we're going to learn more about other illnesses that might be helped with honest medicine when we return to hear more from Julia Shopik, author of Honest Medicine on WDIY.
WDIY reaches a well-informed and passionate listening audience every day. Enhance your image with our community by becoming an underwriting supporter. Spread the word about your business in an uncluttered atmosphere of high-quality NPR and locally produced programming. Underwriting is an affordable way to reach the public radio audience, and it may be tax deductible. To learn more, call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking with Julia Shopik, who is the author of Honest Medicine. She has written this book really almost as a tribute to her husband, I believe, to help us understand that we have other options when it comes to dealing with a diagnosis that is either life-threatening or chronic illness. Sometimes we're not given those options, though. And Julia Shopik, author of Honest Medicine, has found different ways of coping with illnesses from a non-medical point of view. Tell us, how did you become involved with finding these different illnesses and treatments for them? For example, you talk about low-dose naltrexone, or LDN, and you also talk about the ketogenic diet. Tell us how you became involved with that.
Well, when my husband, Ellie, was ill, I was doing a heck of a lot of research. You know, as I told you, I found the Silver Line, I found Gene Wallace, and I also learned about these two treatments while I was researching for my husband. Don't forget, he had had seizures, so I found out about the ketogenic diet, and gave him an adapted version of it, no sugar and all of that. But I also found out about low-dose naltrexone, but I never thought to put them together in a category, the category being treatments that your doctor probably won't tell you about that can help with life-threatening diseases. And while my husband was home for the last 3.5 years of his life, I was taking care of him and didn't have time. But after he died, I decided I was going to educate as many people as I could about the fact that they had to look for treatments and that their doctors probably wouldn't recommend. And I was going to give them kind of a little roadmap as to treatments that would be the kinds of treatments they would want to know about. And the first one that we mentioned was low-dose naltrexone.
And what is that exactly?
It's an amazing, amazing treatment. Actually, it is a very, very low dose, as the name suggests, of a drug that was FDA approved at higher doses in 1984 for a whole different purpose, for alcohol and drug addiction, to get people off of alcohol and drugs, first drugs, then alcohol. And a very brilliant doctor named Dr. Bernard Bahari, at that time, was working with the city of New York, as a matter of fact, with drug addicts. And so therefore he would hear about naltrexone, the high dose. And a lot of his patients, a lot of the drug addicts that he was dealing with, also had HIV/AIDS. And I don't know the exact steps, but at one point he noticed that if he gave low doses of this naltrexone, which, by the way, didn't work so great for people with, for addictions. There were just problems with it as a drug. He found that at tiny doses, he used the word modulated. It raised endorphin levels and modulated the immune system. And he noticed that the HIV/AIDS was not progressing in a great number of people. And then one of his daughter's best friends, a girl named Chris Lombardi, came down with what was diagnosed with MS, multiple sclerosis. And at that point, there were no drugs out there that were FDA approved for MS. And he said, well, why don't we try these very low dose of naltrexone for her? And guess what? Her MS stopped progressing. Well, this was the age before the internet, right?
Yes.
And people began, it was almost like, the game telephone when we were kids, that the word spread. And people began to hear about Dr. Bahari, and they came from all over the country. And they started presenting with all sorts of immune conditions, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, which I don't know if it had a name at that point, chronic fatigue, Crohn's disease, and he found that it was wonderful with all of these. And now it's just huge. I mean, if you go on Facebook, you'll find that there are many, many groups, Facebook groups devoted to patients and helping them find doctors who will prescribe low-dose naltrexone for their various diseases.
Now,
there are websites. There are blogs. It's so exciting, Ellie.
Yes, it sounds. And I'm just wondering, has the medical community adopted this, even though it has been so successful, or is there still a non-recognition?
You know, there's a yes and a no to this. The answer is that do most doctors notice it? No. I was just on a Facebook group today that where somebody was talking about that they had Crohn's disease and their doctor would not prescribe LDN, even though they had presented the doctor with a lot of information. And, you know, that was kind of upsetting because there have been studies about Crohn's and LDN done at Penn State. By Jill Smith and Dr. Ian Zagan, showing that LDN is very effective for Crohn's disease, but yet his doctor wouldn't prescribe it. That's the bad news. The good news is that so many of the patients, spearheaded by a patient advocate named Crystal Nason, I'll name her, have put together a list of doctors who will prescribe LDN.
Now, if people want to know about that, if people want to, hearing the program, might be interested in it and go, aha, that might be something I might be like to look into, how could they find out that information?
Have them write to me at julia@honestmedicine.com, and then I'll start a conversation. You know, tell me why they're interested. You know, they have this disease or that disease, and where they live. And I cannot put the list of doctors online. But what I can do is by private email, I can send them the names of the doctors in their towns.
Well, that would be wonderful.
It's so great to be able to. I have had people write to me saying, "You, because of your book and because I heard you on, you know, whatever show, my life has been changed." And then I start tearing up.
Well, this is an opportunity for people to take charge of their lives.
Yeah.
Look, we all face these difficulties, some with MS, some with lupus, some with various diseases, and there's no real cure, and we feel kind of stuck, and this is an opportunity to at least explore. Sometimes with the cooperation of your physician, and sometimes we have to do it on our own.
And you know why I find it so exciting to be able to lead people to low-dose naltrexone? It's so, you know, the drugs that doctors prescribe for a lot of these autoimmune diseases are not only hugely expensive, $30,000 a year, $40,000 a year, but they are toxic. A lot of them are injectables. A lot of them are infused drugs, you know, and they don't even work, a lot of them, for a lot of patients. Low-dose naltrexone is so non-toxic, so few side effects. By the way, some of the stories that are in my book, In Honest Medicine, they just tell about how difficult it was to find, you know, to find a doctor who would give LDN and how their lives have changed using it. It's wonderful.
So, now, but you're not asking people not to work with their doctor. You're simply saying, think about what else is available. You want to.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You know what I have started to do? People have written to me and said, you know, my doctor is fairly open. Can you help me convince my doctor? And I love getting emails like that or getting calls like that. Because I've started to put together an email for their doctor, you know, basically with check out this link, check out that link, here are some testimonials, here are some studies. You know, the doctor who wouldn't give the patient LDN for Crohn's, I could have given them links, you know, go here, and these are the studies, and you can read them yourself. This is something that I'm happy to do for patients.
What you're saying, Julia, is that you're offering ways to incorporate the physician into the treating physician into the patient's thinking, so that he can have corroborated evidence to see that it's okay.
And you know what? The best thing is that I've been at this for so long that I can tell. Sometimes they'll say to me, "Well, you know, I shared those links with my doctor, and he didn't want to read them." I go, "Now's the time to find another doctor." Do you know what I mean? Because you don't want to get people involved with something that is not going to be a winning situation.
Well, so what you're saying is there are different ways to treat an illness. And if you've been told that there is no other way, that there is no choice, we really have to use our own sense of intuition and respond to that by seeking other ways. And if you want some help, Julia, give the name of your website and your email again.
My website, this is real easy, is honestmedicine.com. My email is julia@honestmedicine.com. And it's my pleasure to help people to find treatments that before they've given up. So there's a Yiddish word, a mitzvah, and there's also a simcha, which means it makes me happy and I feel like I'm doing a good deed.
Thank you so much, Julia Shobik, author of Honest Medicine, for helping us to take charge of our lives by helping us to understand that we need to investigate the options available to us so that we can understand the remarkable yet overlooked therapies that can improve our lives. While we respect our physicians, we need to listen to our own intuition and to our own body that says maybe there's more that we can do. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.